It's very hard to pay.
My weekly bill went from, 50 euros per week to 100, 150, and I live alone. So
with 50 euros, you cannot buy some food for a week. You can just buy for 1 or 2 days.
It's several hundred, definitely. Several hundred euros per month.
More than you were paying.
Yeah.
The ECB is raising interest rates to try and control inflation, but it's damaging the EU's competitiveness. There's concern employment will be impacted.
Credit to the private sector is becoming more expensive. Bank lending to firms has decelerated sharply over recent months.
Analysts say EU sanctions against Russia are backfiring as higher energy costs spread throughout the bloc's entire economy.
There is no relief in sight for mortgage holders in the eurozone. The ECB has indicated it will increase rates further in March. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
In the limelight.
Every human being gets outraged by the reckless slaughter of innocent people in US endless wars ranging from Vietnam to Afghanistan. Actually, weapons manufacturers profiting from these endless wars should be held accountable for criminal activity. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Common Dreams wrote in this regard, days after a U.S. warplane bombed a Doctors Without Borders Médecins Sans Frontières MSF hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan, killing 42 people, 24 of them patients, the international president of MSF, Dr. Jean Leo, walked through the wreckage and prepared to deliver condolences to family members of those who had been killed. A brief radio, taped in October 2015, captures her nearly unutterable sadness as she speaks about a family who, the day before the bombing, had been prepared to bring their daughter home. Doctors had helped the young girl recover, but because war was raging outside the hospital, administrators recommended that the family come the next day. They said, "She's safer here." The child was among those killed by the U.S. attacks, which recurred at 15-minute intervals for an hour and a half, even though MSF had already issued desperate pleas begging the United States and NATO to stop bombing the hospital. Dr. Leo's sad observations seemed to echo in the words of people lamenting war's afflictions. "People speak about peace. The United Nations has done everything possible, but they have not succeeded." Then activists gathered at a Pentagon held signs decrying the slaughter of innocents in our time. They protested the obscenely bloated military budget which the U.S. Congress just passed as a part of Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023. As Norman Stockwell of The Progressive recently noted, the bill contains nearly $1.7 trillion of funding for FY 2023, but of that money, $858 billion is earmarked for the military defense spending and an additional $45 billion in emergency assistance to Ukraine and NATO allies. This means that more than half, that is $900 billion out of $1.7 trillion, is not being used for non-defense discretionary programs. And even that lesser portion includes $118.7 billion for funding of the Veterans Administration and other military-related expense. By depleting funds desperately needed to meet human needs, the U.S. defense budget doesn't defend people from pandemics, ecological collapse, and infrastructure decay. Instead, it continues a deranged investment in militarism. Phil Berrigan's prophetic in transigency, resisting all wars and weapons manufacturing is needed now more than ever. Everybody is outraged by the reckless slaughter of innocent people in endless wars by the U.S., ranging from Vietnam to Afghanistan, with weapons manufacturers profiting from these endless wars, and they should be held accountable for criminal activity. The weapons corporations rob people worldwide of the capacity to meet basic human needs. The appallingly greedy Pentagon budget represents the corporate takeover of the U.S. Congress. As the coffers of weapons manufacturers swell, these military contractors hire legions of highly paid lobbyists tasked with persuading elected officials to earmark even more funds for companies like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, United, and General Atomics. According to military's, stockpiles of weapons must be used up in order to justify more weapons manufacturing. Media complicity is necessary and can be purchased in order to frighten U.S. taxpayers into the continued bankrolling of what could become worldwide annihilation. Phil Berrigan, who in his lifetime evolved from soldier to scholar to prophetic anti-nuclear activist, astutely linked the racial oppression he opposed as a civil rights activist to the rising oppression caused by militarism. He likened racial injustice to a terrible hydra that contrives a new face for every area of the world. Throughout his life, Phil Berrigan identified with people menaced by the Hydra's new faces of war, elaborating on this theme in a book called No More Strangers, published in 1965, he wrote that the dispassionate decision of people in the United States to practice racial discrimination made it not only easy but logical to enlarge our oppressions in the form of international nuclear threats. How can people in the United States prevent the killing that goes on in multiple wars exacerbated by weapons made in the USA? One step they can take involves both political and humanitarian efforts to hold accountable the corporations profiting from the US military budget. Drawing on Phil Berrigan's steadfastness, activists worldwide are planning the Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal, scheduled to be held on November 10th to 13th, 2023. The tribunal intends to collect evidence about crimes against humanity committed by those who develop, store, sell, and use weapons to commit crimes against humanity. Testimony is being sought from people who have borne the brunt of modern wars, the survivors of wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Gaza, and Somalia, to name but a few of the places where U.S. weapons have terrified people who have meant them no harm. We render you, corporations obsessed with war profiteering, accountable, answerable, declares the Reverend Dr. Cornel West on the tribunal's website. On November 10, 2022, organizers of the Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal and their supporters served a subpoena to directors and corporate offices of weapons manufacturers Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon United and General Atomics. The subpoena will expire on February 10, 2023. It compels them to provide to the tribunal all documents revealing their complicity in aiding and abetting the U.S. government in committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, bribery and theft. People menaced by the Hydra's new faces of war often have nowhere to flee, nowhere to hide. Thousands upon thousands of the victims are children. Mindful of the children who are maimed, traumatized, displaced, orphaned and killed by all of the wars raging today, they must hold themselves accountable as well. Humanity literally cannot live in complicity with the patterns that lead to bombing hospitals and slaughtering children.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, ways of strengthening taqwa. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of the ways of strengthening taqwa in the Islamic lifestyle. When we talk about the taqwa or being God-fearing, it is necessary to strengthen it by the passage of time. One of the ways of strengthening the taqwa is to have the belief and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing in Allah and having a firm faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen my taqwa, will give me the strength to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the issues that we face today in our daily life is that we are the Muslims, for example, we believe in a God, but we do not have the faith in God the way it should be. If God has said that there is a hereafter, there is a day of judgment, and he is Maliki Yawmiddin, he is the master of the day of resurrection, then I need to believe, I need to have a firm belief in it. When I'm performing an action, I should know and I should think that I will face the consequences of the actions that I am performing. If it is a good action, then I will get a reward in hereafter. If it is a bad action, if it is an evil, then I have to face the consequences and I will get the punishment in hereafter. Therefore, it is necessary to have this firm belief. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has said in chapter 5, it is verse number 57, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And be God-fearing if you are mu'mineen. If you are the believer, you must be God-fearing. You must have a firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the one who has created me, he will put me accountable for my deeds that I will perform in this world. And he is the one who will judge me and he will question me, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of ways of strengthening taqwa in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that one of the ways is, the first way is to have the firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second way is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to strengthen our beliefs, we must worship our Creator. Because when we say we should not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has said in the Quran as well, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and the ins except worshipping me. Now, what does this worshipping mean? Generally, we think that this worshipping means to just pray 5-time prayers. This is worshipping. Or fasting in the month of Ramadan and performing the rituals that are there. These are the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the meaning of worshipping is vaster than what we think. Worshipping means that every single action that I'm performing, if it is in accordance with the teachings of the Islam, then my every single action will become worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in the morning, if I'm going out to earn something, to bring sustenance for my family and to have this sustenance, if I'm earning the halal rizq, if I'm bringing this halal earning in my home, this is in line or in accordance with the Islamic teachings, because Islam said to bring halal food, halal sustenance for your family. If it is halal, then I am obeying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if I am studying at the university and it is necessary at this age in which I am, my duty is to study well, to study and later to serve the community. If I'm doing so, then obviously I'm worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if I am performing something that is counted as an evil action or the sin or the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously I am out of the list of worshippers. Therefore, it is necessary. And in the Quran, Allah has said that, Ya ayyuhal nas, O the mankind, U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord, Allazi khalaqakum, the one who has created you all, Walladhi min qablikum, and the ones who before you he created them, La'allakum tattaqoon, maybe you all become God-weary. Therefore, it is necessary to have taqwa, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line. We'll be right back.
A devastating 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck southeastern Turkey and northwestern Syria early on Monday. The deadly quake and a string of aftershocks have killed thousands of people in both countries and injured more. Hundreds of buildings in both Syria and Turkey have been reduced to rubbles. Rescue workers are still working in freezing temperatures to find those still trapped under debris. While Turkey has been aided by its allies and Western partners to cope with the crisis, aid is trickling to sanctions-hit Syria. Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad has highlighted Syria's need for humanitarian assistance, warning that the US sanctions have worsened the circumstances as the illegal bans have prevented the delivery of everything to the country. The catastrophe of the earthquake that struck Syria is great, and what has increased its depth is the difficult circumstances that the country has been going through for the past 12 years as it's fighting terrorism and its supporters. What exacerbated the tragedy and catastrophe was the sanctions imposed by the United States and Western countries on Syria. The Syrian top diplomat further said that Damascus had appealed to the member states of the United Nations, the General Secretariat of the organization, its relevant agencies and funds, the International Committee of the Red Cross, and other humanitarian action partners from international, governmental and non-governmental organizations to extend a helping hand and support Syria's efforts to confront the crisis.
You know, given that the war situation and economic, financial, unilateral, illegal, unilateral, inhumane Western sanctions imposed on Syria, at the same time when the U.S. Is imposing, and with its Western allies, imposing almost a blockade around Syria.
As Syria is reeling from the aftermath of the deadly earthquakes, the United States is working with partners to provide earthquake relief in Syria, but will stand firm against working with Syria's legitimate government headed by President Bashar al-Assad. The United States has refused normalization of relations with the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad or any direct reconstruction aid.
Lots of the airplane, cargo airplane, refused to land on Syrian airports because of the American and European sanctions. So even those countries who want to send humanitarian assistance, they cannot use the airplane cargo because of the sanctions.
Washington listed Syria as a state sponsor of terrorism in 1979, but since the beginning of the imposed war on Syria in 2011, the United States and its Western allies have imposed a number of economic sanctions and restrictions on Syria. U.S. sanctions intensified with the passing of the CISA Act in 2019, which was signed by former President Donald Trump. The sanctions have severely affected the Syrian economy, especially its construction, finance and energy sectors, and complicated the reconstruction effort.
The hurdles we have, if I talk about the area under government control, we don't have an access problem in terms of authorizations, but we have an access problem in terms of the capacity of the infrastructure to authorize that, to enable us to do it. I mean, this means we might have to repair a few roads here and there. And we're not the only one. The government is also working on that. But we are in a situation where it was already difficult to do that before. And now we are in a situation where we don't have any other option than doing it.
Syria has been in the throes of foreign-backed militancy since March 2011. While the Daesh Takfiri terrorist group was crushed by the Syrian government, militant outfits continue to hold sway in some parts of the country under the patronage of Western powers. The United States has also established several military bases in northern Syria in a bid to help the terrorists there. Meanwhile, Iran has sent several batches of humanitarian aid to Syria to help the Arab country deal with the aftermath of the devastating earthquakes. The latest batch of aid included food, blankets and carpets. Iran will send more humanitarian supplies to Syria in the coming days.
Iran has urged the international community to put pressure on the US to lift its cruel sanctions on Syria to facilitate aid deliveries. The Lebanese Hezbollah resistance movement has also sent convoys of humanitarian aid to earthquake-affected areas in Syria.
One of Joe Biden's promises during his presidential campaign was to immediately move to end all support for the Saudi-led coalition's war in Yemen. In February 2021, Biden stood at a podium at the State Department and proclaimed that the war in Yemen must end. Biden underlined the humanitarian crisis as the key reason the United States withdrew support.
This war has to end. And to underscore our commitment, we are ending all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales.
An investigation by the Government Accountability Office found that the United States is training the Saudi-led coalition and the U.S.'s troops on the ground in Yemen. Biden confirmed that the United States has troops in Yemen in a letter to Congress in June last year. Simply put, he lied to the world when he claimed that the United States was withdrawing U.S. troops for the war in Yemen in 2021. On the contrary, the United States is making billions of dollars from the war in Yemen, as 200,000 have been killed from direct violence. According to data acquired from the Defense Security Cooperation Agency, between 2015 and 2021, the United States sent $54.2 billion in weapons and services to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. In addition, the Department of Defense provided $644 million for military training to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, almost entirely through the Foreign Military Sales Program. The DoD uses acquisition and cross-servicing agreements to bill nations for logistical support and items ranging from flying hours, fuel, and bombs. Saudi Arabia paid the United States $157 million in flying hours, and the UAE paid $104 million for flying hours since the Saudi-led intervention began in Yemen in 2015. The United States billed Saudi Arabia and the UAE for $319 million in acquisition and cross-servicing agreements for logistical support. Also, the United States sent $18.6 billion in missiles, $6.2 billion in aircraft, $3.3 billion in ships, and $2.8 billion in military training to attack one of the poorest nations in the world. The United States is well aware that the coalition is not fighting an advanced military in Yemen. Billions of dollars have been spent destroying the country, killing hundreds of thousands of people. The UN Security Council approved a resolution to blockade Yemen since 2015 to prevent arms from flooding the conflict. However, the embargo has only succeeded in starving the Yemenis into famine. On a February 9th phone call in 2022 with the King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, Biden assured him that the United States would continue to support the war in Yemen. The phone call came 1 year after Biden lied to the world and announced that the U.S. was withdrawing its support of the war in Yemen. The Defense Security Cooperation Agency's Defense Institute of International Legal Studies conducted training at the Saudi War College that focused on the law of armed conflict, including laws related to air-to-ground targeting in May 2017, April 2018, June 2019, and May 2020. The DoD claims they are not responsible for civilian deaths because they provided the Saudis with training to avoid civilian casualties. According to the Yemen Data Project, over 23,000 Saudi-led coalition airstrikes since March 2015 have led to thousands of civilian casualties. A Yemeni human rights organization has warned that the Saudi-led war on Yemen, as well as the crippling siege in the impoverished Arab country, could result in the death of thousands of children suffering from cancer. Intisaf, Organization for Women's and Children's Rights, said in a statement on the occasion of World Cancer Day that more than 3,000 Yemeni children who have developed cancer as a result of Saudi aggression and the tight sea, land, and air blockade on the country are now at significant risk of death. The rights group criticized the international organizations and other relevant bodies for neglecting Yemeni cancer patients over the past years. Intisov added that the incidence of leukemia is increasing among Yemeni children, saying the cases of kids suffering from blood cancer have soared from 300 to 700 in the capital Sana'a due to the use of internationally banned weapons supplied by the United States and the United Kingdom and used by Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. Approximately 1,000 children are also believed to have contracted leukemia in other Yemeni regions due to the same reasons. The rights organization pointed to the dire shortage of medicine needed for the treatment of patients diagnosed with cancer because of the Saudi-led military onslaught and siege, stating that many children lose their lives as a result. The human rights organization noted that the economic hardships caused by the ongoing military aggression and blockade have prevented minor cancer patients from seeking treatment abroad, calling for the opening of Sana'a International Airport for humanitarian purposes. It finally held Saudi Arabia and its allies fully responsible for all crimes and violations being perpetrated against the Yemeni nation, especially children, urging the international community to bear the legal and humanitarian responsibility for the violations against the civilians. Saudi Arabia, in collaboration with its Arab allies and with arms and logistics support from the US and other Western states, launched a devastating war in Yemen in March 2015. The objective was to crush the popular Ansarullah resistance movement, which has been running state affairs in the absence of a functional government in Yemen, and reinstall the Riyadh-friendly regime of Abd Rabu Mansur Hadi. The Saudi-led coalition has failed to achieve any of its objectives, leaving hundreds of thousands of Yemenis dead and spawning the world's worst humanitarian crisis.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian is on the final leg of his trip to Latin America, where he has met with a number of high-ranking officials in an effort to boost bilateral and multilateral relations. Cuba was the latest destination of Amir Abdollahian, where he met with Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel. During a meeting, they discussed matters of mutual interest at bilateral and international levels. The top Iranian diplomat voiced his country's categorical support for Havana while condemning sanctions on Cuba and foreign intervention in its internal affairs. Díaz-Canel, for his part, said despite all the existing pressures, Cuba is determined to cooperate with friendly countries and work with them to eliminate obstacles and challenges lying ahead. The Cuban president criticized U.S. unilateralism and said that his country has earned political independence at a high price and would preserve it. Amir Abdollahian also met with his Cuban counterpart, Bruno Rodriguez Parrilla. Both diplomats wrapped the U.S. sanctions policy against others, including Iran and several South American countries, saying such a policy is doomed to fail. Before Cuba, the top Iranian diplomat paid a visit to Venezuela, which is maintaining strong bilateral relations with Tehran. During a meeting between Amir Abdollahian and Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, the two sides discussed ways to strengthen cooperation further in various fields, including energy. They also called for heightened vigilance in the face of U.S.-led pressure and bullying. Maduro also pointed to common challenges being faced by Venezuela and Iran. Amir Abdollahian also traveled to Nicaragua as part of his Latin American trip. In a meeting with President Daniel Ortega, he condemned unlawful sanctions imposed by the U.S. and certain Western countries on Iranian individuals and entities. He stressed, however, that the Islamic Republic has managed to move forward despite the coercive measures designed to stop the country's progress. Amir Abdollahian voiced Tehran's eagerness for closer cooperation in various fields, saying Iran sets no limits to the promotion of cooperation with Nicaragua. Ortega, for his part, highlighted shared concerns of Tehran and Managua. He said that the two countries have a common enemy, adding that what Iran fought and defeated in 1979 was the same Nicaraguans rose up against in the same year. Amir Abdollahian's visit to Latin America puts under the spotlight the significance of his meeting with officials there. One of the most important points highlighted by almost all leaders was that the ongoing developments in Latin America and elsewhere in the world are creating new opportunities for multilateralism. That was particularly underlined by the top Iranian diplomat, who dismissed unilateralism as an obsolete doctrine on the global stage. He stressed that unilateralism cannot respond to developments and changes taking place worldwide. In the case of Iran and Venezuela, the officials of the two OPEC members found a common ground to solidify their relations to deal with a common enemy, the United States, which has come up with crippling sanctions against them for years. Standing against the U.S. and Western imperialism was another topic of discussion during the Iranian official's visit. That was underscored in Daniel Ortega's comments, where he said the enemies of global peace and tranquility have maintained their imperialistic policies and considered the whole world, not just Latin America, as their backyard. Ortega, however, expressed hope that imperialism cannot last any longer. On sanctions, Latin American leaders echoed the stance of the Iranian foreign minister, who called such measures terrorist threat being used by imperial powers as leverage. They stressed the need for boosting cooperation in trade and technology, among other things, to overcome those curbs. It seems that shared challenges have brought these countries together to push against U.S. hegemony. And what could make a difference? Moving away from the U.S. dollar, establishing a common currency, enhancing bilateral and multilateral trade. It seems that an oriental shift is largely taking place in today's world. That is visible in countries on the African continent that are trying to enhance ties with the East, namely Russia and China, and Latin American nations that are standing firm against U.S. unilateralism. All these point to their rejection of Western hegemony. The balloon's journey across the ocean has gripped the world's attention. On Friday, the U.S. military said it mobilized fighter jets, but advised President Joe Biden against shooting the balloon out of the sky for fear debris could pose a safety threat. U.S. authorities said the military took custody of the balloon when it entered America's airspace. On Saturday, however, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the balloon, which was being used by China in an attempt to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States, was brought down above U.S. territorial waters. Pentagon also snapped what it called China's unacceptable violation. China has expressed regret, blaming winds for pushing what it called civilian airship into U.S. airspace. Beijing said the balloon was used for meteorological purposes and had unintentionally escaped into U.S. airspace. The incident prompted U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to issue a personal note to his Chinese counterpart condemning Beijing's move.
China's decision to fly a surveillance balloon over the continental United States is both unacceptable and irresponsible. That's what this is about. It's a violation of our sovereignty. It's a violation of international law.
Blinken further added that the U.S. remains committed to diplomatic engagement with China and that he would make a trip to Beijing once conditions are favorable. Some White House allies say postponing Blinken's trip was an overreaction to the incident, particularly because U.S. officials have said that they do not think the balloon was able to gather information that cannot be acquired in other ways, such as spy satellites. In a phone call with his American counterpart, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said China and the United States should handle occasional individual cases in a calm and professional manner. Wang stressed that China has always strictly abided by international laws and will not accept any groundless conjecture or hype. In the face of unexpected situations, what both sides should do is to maintain steadiness, communicate in time, avoid misjudgment, and manage differences. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said it spotted a second similar balloon flying over Latin America. Beijing already denied the U.S. accusation of spying. It accused U.S. media and politicians of using the recent balloon incident as a pretext to launch a smear campaign against Beijing. The U.S. allegation of a suspected spy balloon flying in the sky of Montana has added to concerns that the already heightened tensions between Washington and Beijing would further escalate. Although balloons are a powerful potential surveillance tool, it is odd that Beijing would do something this provocative just before a key U.S. diplomatic trip, especially since China has been pushing to repair relations with the United States post-pandemic. Some in the U.S. say it is very likely that China has been using this technique for a while and that the United States was aware of it, but diplomatically chose not to respond. A U.S. Defense Department spokesman confirmed that such intrusions have happened before, saying it is not the first time that you had a balloon of this nature cross over the continental United States. It has happened a handful of other times over the past few years, to include before this administration. Some believe that the United States is spending a large budget on creating unnecessary hostility with China. Some others reason out that the tensions have flared up in recent years between the two, with Biden declaring that China is America's most consequential geopolitical challenge and competition between the two global superpowers is intense. After all, Washington and Beijing are already at loggerheads over a host of issues. That includes tensions over Taiwan. President Biden has antagonized top Chinese officials by saying on several occasions that the United States would defend Taiwan if China attacked a self-ruled island. One close ally of the administration said that although White House officials have walked back those statements, Biden is intentionally sending a message to China when he makes such pronouncements. But tensions between Washington and Beijing are not limited to that. The two powers have deep differences on other issues as well. The economic war between the United States and China, with the two countries having imposed tariffs on each other's goods, can be named as such. The U.S. presence in the South China Sea also adds to concerns that Washington and Beijing would be facing each other militarily. In the current situation, one small excuse would be enough for the whole world to wage another world war.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Okay, as we promised, let's go to this surah, okay? As I challenged you, so you said challenged, accepted, right?
Yes.
Let's go.
I didn't accept it.
Go to Surah Al-Adiyat.
See,
Surah Al-Adiyat, page 599, chapter 30, Surah Al-Adiyat. Let's see who can recite this surah correctly. So, ready?
Yes.
Okay, who wants to challenge? So, who's going to recite this first? Who is going to challenge? Okay, who's going to challenge? I think no one, yes? So, let me recite this surah. I will challenge you. But after I finished, okay? So, you have to challenge me. Ready? Okay.
Yes.
Ready.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The challenge is this, that if I made any mistake, you gotta fix the mistake, okay? Ask me that you made a mistake.
Okay.
Let me see. I make intentionally I make mistakes, okay?
Okay.
Let me see if you focus.
Okay.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ.
There's a mistake. You said إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. Was there any other mistake?
No.
Okay, mashallah too, Hussein Musa.
Copyrighted.
It is Rabbah.
إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ.
MashaAllah.
Yes.
Allah.
Allahumma.
Inna rabbahum bihim yawma idhin lakhabir.
No, idhin.
Pay attention. There is another mistake. Come on.
Yawma idhil.
Okay, listen up. I'm sure, I challenge you cannot find the mistake.
Okay. In this ayah?
Yeah. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ Look, I told you. Whenever a kasra comes before it, so it is pronounced like with a low sound. Yes? إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ.
Yeah.
Oh, I said لَخَبِيرٌ.
Yes. So, question, why is there a meme on the ra?
لَخَبِيرٌ, it is tanween it has. That's tanween dhamma, because if that tanween is there, okay, that inshallah we'll study. It's called iqlab.
Iqlab.
Because the next surah starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It starts with Ba. So Tanween, Dhamma is here, okay? When Tanween reaches, okay, or approaches the letter Ba. So in this case, that Noon sound will be changed to Meme sound. That's why there is a small meme on the top. Look, I'm reading it with the next surah. Bismillah, okay? Inna rabbahum bihim yawma idhin lakhabirun bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Yes, yeah. So you said lakhabirun, like
that's the meme sound. The meme sound changes to meme sound.
So this is why they put like a small meme.
Yes.
Inshallah, we'll study, okay? Iqlab it is. So, who is challenging me now? Okay, let me see.
No, I can read.
No, you okay. Can't. I said first.
Okay. What? A'udhu billah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'adiyati zabha.
Okay. Wal 'adiyati zabha.
Yeah.
Zabh means to kill. Yeah.
No.
Okay, but this dhabh has another meaning.
Yeah, wad.
So, what was the mistake?
Dhabha.
Okay.
I made it intentionally.
Intentionally? Okay.
To test you guys.
Okay.
I'm so this helping time, you guys learn.
Okay. This time intentionally read it correctly.
I can't. I want to help you all.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Okay, go on, read it again.
وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا.
Dabha. Nice. The next ayah.
فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْهَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ سُبْحَا.
That's good.
فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعَا فَوَسَدْنَا بِهِ جَمْعَا.
Okay. That's okay because we have not studied قَلْقَلَا. Inshallah we'll study, okay? قَلْقَلَا. So when the طَا is ساكين, it produces like a bouncing sound.
طَا.
فَوَسَطَا. فَوَسَطَا. فوسطن به جمعا
فوسطن به جمعا
أحسن the next آية
إن الإنسان لربه لكنود
أحسن
وإنه على ذلك لشهيد
أحسن
وإنه لحب الخير لشديد
great next آية
أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور
okay.
إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير
okay. So who's next?
Me.
Say Musa.
Yes.
Go on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد
ما شاء الله
وإنه لحب الخير لشديد
أحسنت
أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير
يومئذ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى There are a lot of rules, okay, that you were reciting, so you didn't apply because you didn't know them. That's okay. So, alhamdulillah, the letters that we have learned so far, so you applied them correctly. That was nice, okay?
So, mashallah.
Thank you.
So you don't have any problem with the letters, okay? But the letters have problems with you, okay?
Okay.
So, the pronunciation is alhamdulillah correctly, but just remember to produce that heavy, that graph sound with this sad, dad, okay? Okay, Ali Nasir, continue.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا
أحسن, there was a tiny mistake.
فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ
Again, it was repeated.
He said, فَأَثَر instead of ra.
فَأَثَرْنَ He said, فَأَثَر Look, there is a fatha before ra. So, فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ
Yes.
أَثَر So, next one. Repeat it again.
Yeah.
Then continue.
فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ
Look how better it became, okay? Next ayah.
فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا
okay.
إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ
okay, good.
وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ
أحسن
وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ
أحسن
أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ
That's it.
وحصل ما في الصدور.
Uh-huh. We said that
instead of ha, he said ha.
That was correct.
Instead of ha, he said ha.
No. No.
Sa.
No. Look, we said that sad is always a heavy letter. So whenever it, even if it has kasra, so you have to sound it has. Okay.
وحصل وحصل
oh that's it
وحصل ما في الصدور
that's nice
إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير
a tiny mistake again
لخبير
again
لخبير it should be bold yeah
go read the ayah the whole ayah again
إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير صدق الله العلي العظيم
okay
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والعاديات ضبحا
By the racers panting
فالموريات قدحا
And the producers of sparks when striking
فالمغيرات صبحا
And the chargers at dawn
فأثرن به نقعا
Stirring up thereby clouds of dust
فوسطن به جمعا
Arriving thereby in the center collectively
إن الإنسان لربه لكنود
Indeed, mankind to his Lord is ungrateful
وإنه على ذلك لشهيد
And indeed, he is to that a witness
وإنه لحب الخير لشديد
And indeed, he is in love of wealth intense
أفلا يعلم إذا بعثر ما في القبور
But does he not know that when the contents of the graves are scattered
وحصل ما في الصدور
And that within the breasts is obtained
إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير
Indeed, their Lord with them that day is fully acquainted.
So thank you so much for joining us. Alhamdulillah, we learned the Arabic alphabet letters correctly now, the pronunciation, the articulation points. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. But before we end, let's give a thanks to a big thanks to Allah Almighty. And then a big thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network.
And the students.
Yeah, Hussein Musa, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider. Haider Karrar, and also Ali Nasser and me, Habibullah Faseza. Thank you so much. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.